You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Hey, everybody. It's Thursday, February 8th, 2024. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, where we're getting our popcorn ready. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio. And here we are. We are, how many more sleeps? There's three more sleeps until Super Bowl 58. And I don't know about you, but judging from my social media timelines and all the questions and activities being asked around there, it's time. We just need to play this game now.
I was going to say, I don't know how you're so calm and everything. Like, I understand you've seen your team play in a Super Bowl before, something I haven't had the privilege of doing yet. But I keep thinking, like, if the Bills were playing this Sunday, I would be like a nervous wreck. I'd probably be reading about it all day long. You're very calm and like kind of zen right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of it is, you know, when I get closer to game time, then those nerves start to kick in. You know, I don't know. I feel like we've been talking about this game for 2 weeks. I just kind of want it to happen. I think I'm more just anticipating getting to the end of the day. But for now, it's fine. Like, you know, but talk to me again, like Sunday at about, you know, 3 o'clock, about half an hour or so before kickoff. And then we'll see how I feel about it.
I know it's very different than 3 years ago when these two teams matched up, but does that give you extra incentive to want to win? Are you more nervous knowing like, hey, we've already lost to these guys before? Like, how does that feel?
There's definitely that. I mean, I think there's a little bit of, hey, man, like the Niners led that game into the fourth quarter. And there's a little bit of, and this one kind of slipped away. I think you say that about both of their last couple Super Bowls, right? They got close against Baltimore and had a shot late, couldn't get it done, ended up losing. They were leading into the fourth quarter against Kansas City, had a shot to take the lead, and Jimmy Garoppolo overthrows Emmanuel Sanders, which would have been a sure touchdown. So it's, there's a little bit of like, hey, like this is a chance to maybe sort of right those missed opportunities. Honestly, and I also think there's for 49er fans, there's a little bit of kind of comparing the franchise to other franchises. I mean, you know, the Niners are sitting on five. They've had a couple of chances to get to six. You know, and that means something to the fan base about kind of counting rings and comparing them to other franchises. So there's very much an aspect of, hey, this is another chance. I mean, the Niners, until they had lost to Baltimore, the Niners were undefeated in Super Bowls. They had been 5-0. They've lost their last two. So it is a little bit of like, yeah, it's a chance to maybe to avenge a loss from a few years ago against Kansas City. It's also a chance to break a Super Bowl losing streak and to add one more championship to the trophy case a little bit. So I think there's a lot of that in play for Niner fans right now.
It makes sense. Although I'm of the mindset that if you weren't alive to see a championship, I don't think you should claim it.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, fortunately, I've been alive for all of the 49ers championships.
There you go.
So I guess I can claim all five of them. That's interesting. I'm going to go back to my Lakers fans friends and be like, you can't claim the 17 trophies that the Lakers have because you weren't alive for most of them. So
like I have a Jet fan friend who's like, well, at least we've won a Super Bowl. And I'm like, your dad was a kid when they won a Super Bowl. Like, what are we doing here? You can't claim that.
That's funny. Although I say this and I claim all of USC's national championships in football, even though I was not around or, you know, or at least affiliated with the school for a good number of them, but I claim them all anyway, whatever. Anyway, obviously, if you haven't figured it out, we're talking about the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 58, just a couple days away. We're going to go through and just kind of highlight a lot of the big questions. We'll do a few more or lesses. We'll do some fun halftime type stuff. Then we'll give you our DFS lineups. And of course, we will make our predictions for the game on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. But wanted to start with some non-Super Bowl news, and that coming out of Los Angeles. We talked previously about the Chargers hiring Jim Harbaugh as their head coach. And at the time, we said, well, our judgments will be reserved until we see who the offensive coordinator is going to be. One of the names that we floated out in our conversation was Greg Roman. And lo and behold, it is Greg Roman who has been hired as the offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Chargers. So we said that it would be worrisome for Justin Herbert if Roman was the guy. Roman is the guy. Are we worried for Justin Herbert?
Very much so. So Greg Roman has been an OC in this league for 10 seasons. So we know he was under Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco. He had those 2 years with the Buffalo Bills, and then 4 years with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, granted, he always has had a rushing quarterback, right? Like Kaepernick, we know Lamar Jackson. I'm double checking. I believe his 2 seasons in Buffalo, yeah, they were Tyrod Taylor years. So always had a mobile quarterback. But every single year that this guy has been an OC, his offense has been top 10 in rushing attempts and rushing yards. Meanwhile, passing wise, he finished ninth in 2021. That was the year that Lamar was hurt and they were playing a lot of comeback. Besides that, you look at it, 31, 31, 32, 29, 31, 32, 32, 32, 28. Like, it's not going to, and this lines up with what Jim has done his whole career. It's going to be a very run-heavy system. Herbert maybe could get by in efficiency, but I think he's very much so now, like, he's not even in the question for a top five fantasy quarterback. I think it is more of a question. Is he in the top 10? Is he in that group just outside the top 10 where we know he has the upside to be a lot better? That I still need to kind of determine. But with quarterback being so deep, Marcus, I could tell you right now, and I'm someone who is bullish about Justin Herbert this year, I do not see myself drafting him much next year.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be worrisome. I mean, we throw in that Greg Roman is coming in with what has traditionally, as you mentioned, been a very run-heavy offense. We're also looking at who are going to be the pass catchers there in Los Angeles. I mean, what happens with Keenan Allen? What happens with Mike Williams? Is Quentin Johnston ready to take that big next step forward after what was admittedly a pretty awful rookie season? There are so many question marks suddenly around Justin Herbert that it gets really dicey about where you're drafting him. If I were smart and on top of it and planned, I'd be looking at our sleeper mock draft right now and trying to see. I mean, I don't believe he's anywhere near coming off the board at this point. And you wonder where he's going to start going in mock drafts right now. Right now, he is very much on the board. We've had four quarterbacks drafted. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, and Lamar Jackson, the four guys that are already off the board. It is going to be interesting to see how far Justin Herbert falls down the boards in a lot of mock drafts and in a lot of real drafts when we get to that point in the season. The other question is, with Greg Roman there and wanting, presumably, to have another run-heavy offense, could we see a return to the Chargers for Austin Eckler?
I don't think so. Look, we work right next to SoFi, so every once in a while we get to talk to people who know stuff that maybe we don't know. And the growing thing that we kept hearing this year was like, yeah, this is the final year for these two. They both kind of know they need to go in different directions. And I think bringing in Jim and bringing in Greg Roman is kind of a sign of like, yeah, we want to go in a different way. I think these guys want a power style running game. Like they want, and Jim Harbaugh talked about it repeatedly at his press conference last week. Like they want to play a physical style of football. And Austin Eckler, not that he's not physical, but he's not that hand the ball off 15 to 20 times a game. Like, he's more of, we know what he is. You throw him the ball and all that. He's objectively awesome. I think both can kind of part ways, and it could both be good for fantasy. Like, I could see Austin Eckler bouncing back in a new offense. And I toyed with the idea the other day, maybe you throw like a Derrick Henry on this this Chargers offense and watch what it can become. But not knowing who the running back will be, Marcus, I'll tell you, I'm probably going to be much more interested in drafting their running back than I would be drafting Herbert at what I'm anticipating Herbert's cost will be.
I mean, right now, and I will reserve final judgment until we see more of what the Chargers do this offseason, I am not inclined to be excited about Chargers at the moment. I mean, we're already talking about downgrading Justin Herbert. You know, I'm not ready to really jump in on Quentin Johnston just yet. Let's say for argument's sake that Joshua Kelly is the guy who takes over that RB1 spot in Los Angeles. I think he's a nice player, but he's not a guy that I'm really going to hang a lot of fantasy expectations on in the upcoming season. So, it's hard for me to see a spot where I get excited about the Chargers in fantasy next season. It's hard for me to get excited about the Chargers in actual football right now until I kind of see more of what they do. You got the Chiefs, who've been running the division for, you know, the last six or so years, back in the Super Bowl again. You know, you've got the Broncos are sort of in disarray. We'll see what happens with the Denver Broncos. The Raiders, at least there's optimism there, right? They hire Antonio Pierce as their head coach. You know, there's at least a thought, a rumor that they're going to make a move for a quarterback. Maybe it's Justin Fields. Maybe it's somebody else. There's at least optimism there. There's disarray in Denver. There's, I think, confusion with the Chargers. I don't know that I'm super excited about them. I would assume this ends your streak of picking the Chargers to win the West.
You know what's crazy is, yes, but it's not going to be flashy. It's not going to be fun for fantasy, but this will be the year that they out, because everyone's going to jump off of them, right? Because they're no longer the flashy team, and now that's when they'll get it done.
That would be very Chargery of them to do it when everybody has sort of, you know, given up on them and see it come together. So very interested to see what happens with the Charger roster in the next couple of months, what they do in free agency, what they potentially do in the draft. But Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman going to try and totally remake this offense likely from where it has been the last couple of years. Okay, turn our attention to Super Bowl 58 coming on Sunday from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. You can see that game, of course, on CBS and Paramount Plus. And if you are so inclined, you can watch SpongeBob perform Sweet Victory on the Nickelodeon broadcast as well. Seems like a good time to me. Don't know.
Did you see?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, they put out the like media, like who's calling the game for CBS and for Nickelodeon and for like analysts. They just said like Starfish Pants and like all the characters' last name.
That's funny. I dig that a lot. I'm gonna go check that out. I guess even if I don't watch it, it will end up on like Twitter or somewhere.
Well, you have a kid. Like you could throw that on for him.
That's true. He might watch it for a little bit. I do remember when they did the Toy Story game. I turned it on for him, and he was kind of fascinated for a little bit. He kept wanting me to replay it, like to run it back and replay it. And like, it wasn't even a great play. It was like a 2-yard screen pass or something like that. And he was like, play it again. And like after like the fourth time, I'm like, all right, bro, like we got to keep moving. You know, so
that's only 0.2 fantasy points.
Right. I'm like, there's nothing that happened here, kid. There's so much more exciting stuff that's going to happen, but whatever. All right, so Super Bowl 58. I came up with four big questions for the game. The first one being, can Brock Purdy, who is always a subject of conversation, especially on social media, can he be effective against the Chiefs defense, considering he has had an up and down postseason so far?
I think so. I think it has to be in a very specific way, though. I think if you're asking Brock Purdy to get into a shootout with Patrick Mahomes, you're asking for failure. I think if you're asking Brock Purdy to heave it downfield and win down like deep against this Chiefs secondary, you're probably asking for some failure there. The Chiefs defense has shut down great quarterbacks so far this playoff. Josh Allen had the best game against them, and I think it was like 19 of his completions were behind the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. I think that is what the 49ers have to do, and I think if there's any team built to play in that style, it is the 49ers, because Deebo Samuel is probably the best yards after catch receiver in the NFL. George Kittle is arguably the best tight end at that. Christian McCaffrey is arguably the best running back at picking up yak after the catch. So this is an offense for Kyle Shanahan that, going back to the Jimmy G days, has been built off of yak. Brock Purdy, what he brings that Jimmy G didn't was he can win downfield when asked to, but as we've seen, like when they played Baltimore and they kind of had to start airing it out, that's when bad things start to happen. So I think you want to keep a lot of short, quick passes, let these guys get the ball in space, play physical, and really make this secondary have to tackle and do all of that, because their strength is taking away the pass. So I think Brock Purdy can put up numbers, but I think it's going to, and Cam Newton would hate this, I think it's going to be more asking his other guys, like, hey, I'm going to give you the ball, you guys go do your thing.
Which honestly is how he has had success for a good chunk of his career. And this isn't me, you know, doubting Brock Purdy or being down on him. I mean, I think that is a talent and a skill all into itself, is putting your playmakers in position to be successful and to go out and make plays. And I think he's done that. And then when they need him to, he's come up with some big throws. But I think you're right to the point that they have to be efficient, and he can't necessarily make a lot of bad decisions. Now, some of that might not be on him. Steve Spagnuolo is going to do a lot of things to try and confuse him. They're going to show pressure looks, and they may back out or vice versa. So he's got to be ready for that. If there is an upside, it is that few, if any, quarterbacks have been as good under pressure this year than Brock Purdy. So if that's what they decide to do over the course of four quarters, it may end up being kind of a frustrating day for the Chiefs. The other thing that I think is important to watch is when Purdy runs, how effective can he be running the football? Because that was a big part of what happened in the NFC Championship game. We're never going to confuse him with Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, but he did run when he needed to, and he picked up some big yards and some big first downs. And if he can do that, that certainly will keep the Chiefs a little bit honest defensively. So you talked about the Niners receivers, Ayuk, Deebo Samuel. Which one of those guys do you think has a bigger impact in this game?
I think it has to be Deebo Samuel. Just the style of play that Brandon Ayuk is your downfield threat, and that is what the Chiefs excel at taking away. It's not saying he can't win, he can't make a big impact, but I think the game plan is going to run through Deebo. I think CMC and Deebo are going to be, as they should, they're your two best players, they're your two highest paid positional players. I think you need to build the game plan around Deebo from the moment he comes out with the big boombox or whatever they're calling it nowadays. he's going to have like four plays where you think he's done for the game, and then the next play he's back out there doing something amazing again. But I think if the 49ers are going to win, I think Deebo Samuel has to have a big game. And to be honest, Marcus, I feel good about that if I'm a 49ers fan like you are. Like, if there's one player I trust on that offense to get it done, it's Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Deebo is going to be a big part of it. I think, though, we may see a Brandon Ayuk game. And so this depends. During the regular season, the Chiefs were an above average team when it came to how often they used man coverage. We know most teams are going to be zone heavy. That's just the way of the NFL now. But when it came to playing man coverage, they did it more than average. in the playoffs, that sort of flipped and they were below average in terms of how much they were running up man coverages. But I think some of that had to do with you had two quarterbacks in Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson who could take off and run. If you're playing man coverage, you've got defenders, defensive backs turning their back occasionally to the quarterback. That makes it really easy for those guys to take off and get going. That's not as much of a threat for Brock Purdy. Yes, he may scramble occasionally. He's not going to just necessarily beat you with his leg. If Brock Purdy runs for, 80 yards in this game, something's probably gone really wrong for the 49ers. that shouldn't be or maybe it's gone really wrong for the Chiefs. Either way, something is weird if he gets that many yards on the ground. So I think you're going to see them play a little bit more man than they have in the first couple of playoff games. And I think that works to Brandon Ayuk's advantage. But to your point, if Debo is not effective in any way, that really does take a lot out of their playbook. And I think we saw that against the Packers, but they really have to change up what they did when Debo got hurt early in that game. And it took them a while to kind of get on track. Which running back is more important for their team's success? Christian McCaffrey or Isaiah Pacheco? Because I don't think the answer is quite as obvious as maybe it seems on the surface.
Oh, see, I do. I think it's like you could throw any running back there with Christian McCaffrey. And to me, the answer is always Christian McCaffrey because he puts up. Well, not only is he a better running back, I would say, than Isaiah Pacheco and puts up high end RB1 numbers on the ground, but he also gives you wide receiver one numbers in the passing attack. And he is so hard to account for defenses, especially given the weapons they have at receiver and tight end, because you got to pick your spots and you always have to have someone on McCaffrey, even if it's not a running play. So I think he just dictates so much of the defensive coverage and the defensive attention. Like Pacheco is a good power runner, but he got shut down against the Ravens and they were still able to, I know they only scored 17, but they were still able to put up enough points. Whereas if Christian McCaffrey gets shut down Sunday, I think life then becomes a lot tougher on Brock Purdy and co. Whereas I trust Patrick Mahomes to kind of overcome it. So maybe it's partially because of who their quarterback is and everything. But again, you could throw any running back there. And I think CMC is the answer just because of how much he does as both a runner and a receiver.
All right, so now you said that I look and seem very zen right now. This might be my nervous fan coming out in me because I watched the Niners defense get run over in their first two playoff games. Aaron Jones ran up and down the field on them. Against the Lions, it was David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs doing serious work against them. And that made it easier for the respective quarterbacks to get going. I mean, when the Niners trying to figure out how to stop Aaron Jones, that allowed Jordan Love to kind of make some plays. When they were trying to figure out how to stop the Lions duo, I mean, Jared Goff was carving them up all at the same time. We already know Patrick Mahomes can do that, but I just get the sense that if you are Andy Reid, you want to try to come out and see if you can get the Niners defense on its heels. And that might be by trying to run the ball with Pacheco, trying to get him to the edges a little bit, because that's where the Niners have been soft. I think if the Niners can stop the run and if they can do it without adding any extra support, then that makes it a little bit easier for them to defend the middle of the field, to defend guys like Kelce and Rashee Rice. And this isn't to say that they're going to shut down Patrick Mahomes, because that is nearly impossible to do. But if they can make the Chiefs a little bit more one-dimensional with just those two pass catchers, I think that helps. So weirdly, I think Isaiah Pacheco is a key cog in this game for Kansas City, which gets me to my next question. Who needs a bigger game for the Chiefs to win? Is it Kelce or is it Travis Kelce or is it Pacheco?
It's always Travis Kelce, in my opinion. He is their passing attack. Like, you look at the last two games, Rashee Rice had a really big performance against the Miami Dolphins. Travis Kelce played great in that game as well. But against the Bills, Rashee Rice was kind of held in check. It was MVS. He had more yards, but both touchdowns went to Travis Kelce. And then obviously Kelce ate against the Ravens and Rashee Rice was held in check. All of their receivers kind of were. So I still think this passing attack goes as Travis Kelce goes, especially the closer they get into the red zone and near the goal line. That is who Mahomes is looking to throw the ball to. And it is amazing to me that after a quote-unquote down year, and it's not even like tongue in cheek. Like, it was a bad, it was a down year for Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. But when they need to turn it on, they can just flip that switch. So in what potentially might be Travis Kelce's final game as an NFL player, just speculation, but that is still out there that the Kelce brothers could retire together whenever this run ends, which would be after Sunday. It is Travis Kelce all day, especially because I think if the Chiefs are going to win, Mahomes is going to have to be at least somewhat Patrick Mahomes, because I think the 49ers could put up points like the Bills did. That was the only game in this playoffs where the Chiefs offense had to put up points. And it was clearly everything was built around going to Travis Kelce. I think this will be a similar game where they have to throw, they have to put up points. And that means more Travis Kelce with his boo in the stands.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. I want to try to make the case for Pacheco. I do think he's very critical, though, to the Chiefs having success. But I'm with you that if Travis Kelce gets shut down, you're asking a lot of, you know, either Rashee Rice to pick up a lot of the slack. I mean, then you're trying to get into the MVSs of the world, you know, Justin Watson. I mean, is Sky Moore still active? Is he still around?
I think they activated him yesterday.
Okay. So it's just asking a lot for guys that to this point in the season haven't really shown an inclination to produce big numbers. So I want to try to sit here and make a case that Isaiah Pacheco is going to be the straw that stirs the drink. I can't quite do it. I think for the Chiefs to win another ring, it's going to have to be heavy Mahomes and Kelce with other guys contributing in key moments. And Pacheco is one of those guys. Gotta take a quick break, come back and talk about some of the things we expect to happen on the field. Play a little bit of More or Less. Talk some Usher as well. It's coming up next on the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't me.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Of course, we're going to sit here and talk about the broad themes of the game, but let's kind of get granular here and talk about some of the things we expect to see on Sunday on the field, or maybe even off the field as well. Play a little bit more or less. So let's start with Christian McCaffrey. You said put any two running backs together, and the answer is always going to be Christian McCaffrey. So 90 and a half rushing yards for Christian McCaffrey, more or less?
More. I think he gets the century mark because for two reasons. He's Christian McCaffrey. That's one. And then two is that the weakness of the Chiefs defense is against the run. And it was what we kept talking about after the Ravens-Chiefs game. Like, why did Baltimore get away from the run? Why were they so pass happy? The Bills, I think, kind of laid out the game plan for the 49ers. A lot of short, quick stuff behind the line of scrimmage. A lot of QB running, like you talked about. And just a whole bunch of handing the ball off to your running back, running up the middle, getting the ball out wide in space, wherever. Because that's been their weakness all year long, the Chiefs, is they're great at taking away the pass, especially downfield. So I think as long as the game is close, Kyle Shanahan is going to learn from his mistakes that he made against Tom Brady, and he's going to hand the ball to his superstar running back and kind of try to control the clock and all that.
I'm going to go, yeah, I guess I'll go over. First, I was going to say under, but I think, again, this goes to my pick and my belief that the Niners are going to win this game. So I think you're going to see McCaffrey creep over that number in the fourth quarter as they're trying to maybe eat some time off the clock. I do hope, at least as a fan, I hope that Kyle Shanahan sort of looks back at his mistakes from earlier in the playoffs. You mentioned the Ravens, and we were all surprised that they didn't try to run the football more. I was surprised that the Niners didn't try to run it more against the Packers a few weeks ago. And the Packers have a bad run defense, and they spent a lot of time, especially in the first half, trying to force the pass. And then later they kind of started to open some things up on the ground. I would hope that Shanahan sort of learned from that and decides he's going to attack the weakness of this Chiefs defense. And I use the term weakness advisedly. They are a very, very good defense. So if there is a soft spot, it's against the run. I would hope that Shanahan recognizes that and attacks that. 261 and a half passing yards for Patrick Mahomes, more or less.
I'm going to say more because I think, again, this is going to be a game where the Niners can actually put up points, which means the Chiefs are going to have to do so. And that usually means more Patrick Mahomes throwing. And you hear about it, and sometimes it feels like it gets overblown, but like how he rises to the occasion in the big moment, and he is so prepared and all of that. It seems to just come to fruition, and I've gone wrong too many times picking against Patrick Mahomes. So I'm going to say he gets that number in what I think will be a competitive, but maybe higher scoring than you might have anticipated. Some people might anticipate by looking at these defenses.
I'm going to say under again. So we did this for the AFC Championship game, and I think it was 241 and a half. And I said less. And he ended at 241. So he just slid under. So I'm going to say under. I'm going to say less again, that he gets less than 261 and a half passing yards. I think what has worked for Mahomes, though, is maybe not the big numbers. We haven't seen a ton of those, you know, 350-yard games, 400-yard games. But he's been efficient, and he's found ways to make plays when they happen. So even if it's not a big yardage game, I think he'll find a way to at least be efficient and move the football passing it. 6.5 receptions for Travis Kelce, more or less.
I'm going to say more. Again, I think the passing numbers for Mahomes are pretty high, which means I think it's all through Travis Kelce. He had 11 catches last game for over 100 yards and a touchdown. I don't know if he gets to that high of a number, but seven, something like that. I think he had six against the Bills, and I think six against or seven against the Dolphins. I think in a game, again, where I think the 49ers are going to push the score up a little bit, I think Travis Kelce tops that number.
Yeah, I'm going to go over that. I'm going to say more than that, too, just because I think, you know, I don't know if he has any necessarily big plays. Maybe he gets a couple of big yards after catch, but I think it's a lot of them just trying to move the chains and move the ball down the field and getting him involved early. I'm very interested in the matchup of Travis Kelce against the 49er linebackers. You know, does he end up matching up with Fred Warner and or Dre Greenlaw? And how does that work out? Because I think that's going to be kind of an intriguing battle. But I think you're going to see him peppered with a lot of targets, especially early, to try to soften up that middle of the field, if possible, against San Francisco. We talk Niners receivers, more or less than 61 and a half receiving yards for Brandon Ayuk.
I'm going to say less on this one. I feel like you're going to disagree, but I just keep thinking that Kittle and Debo and CMC are going to be on short, quick stuff is going to be the game plan for the 49ers. Now, you could get close to this number on one catch, especially if it hits off of a defender's face mask or something like that first. But I think the Chiefs are so good at limiting downfield that unless the 49ers fall behind and are in catch-up mode, I think they're going to play to their strengths, which also happens to be the weakness of the Chiefs defense. And that's like yards after the catch with your guys that could win shorter to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I'm going to say more. I think you're going to see the Chiefs maybe try to bring pressure, play a little bit more man defense. And I think that's when you see a lot of the big plays for Ayuk, a lot of those in breaking routes where he maybe gets some space and can get some yards after the catch. So maybe he doesn't have as many touches or as many catches as, say, Debo Samuel. But I think the yardage numbers could be decent for Ayuk in this one. More or less than 2.5 cutaways to Taylor Swift.
She'll have that before halftime.
I should have made the number higher. I should have made that number higher.
Before the ball even kicks off, we're going to hear about how the time changed from Tokyo and how she flew back across the world and what time she landed there. And you know what? Good, because the Super Bowl, I understand it's the biggest game of the year, but it's really more than a game. It's like a performance or a show at this point. And Taylor Swift is a needle mover. If it was some other singer and be like, okay, yeah, maybe. But no, Taylor Swift is going to get eyes on the TV and move the needle and everything. So stop crying and complaining about it. It's good to get more fans liking the game. Plus, I saw something that, like, if you add up all the time that she's on, it's like less than 20 seconds or something.
It's
like
not
that
much. It really isn't. You know, like, on the one hand, I guess I understand people just sort of, you know, having fatigue of it. But at this point, just lean into it. It is what it is. Also, there's only one more game this season. Like, this is it. This is the last game. If it really does bother you, just somehow suck it up for this last 3.5-4 hours. And then you'll be rid of this whole conversation for, you know, I don't know, 8 months.
If you're sick of seeing the Chiefs on top, you should be rooting for Taylor Swift to pull Travis Kelce out of the NFL and have him retire, because that would be a huge blow to their dynasty.
I have actually seen that take of people saying, I don't really love the Chiefs, but I kind of want them to win because I hope it means Travis Kelce retires.
Yep.
And maybe they're a little bit more vulnerable. I have seen more than one person offer up that take in the last week or so. They're going to be really disappointed if the Chiefs win and Travis is like, I'm coming for three in a row. Like, people are going to be really upset about that. That's what happens on Sunday.
I will be one of them.
Halftime, of course, Usher is performing. Your guess on what song he's going to open with.
I think he's going to come out swinging and open with Yeah. Like, the biggest one.
Yeah, I thought about that. The reason I don't think he opens with Yeah is because if you're going to do Yeah, you got to have Lil Jon. And I don't think you're going to have the guest come right at the start.
That's a good point.
So that was going to be my first thought, was that. I think maybe OMG.
It has to be. A lot of his songs are a little bit,
you know, more slower, slower tempo.
Yeah. You can't start a Super Bowl show with that.
It's got to be. Yeah, maybe not. Seems like the perfect opener.
OMG is a good fallback, but like, you can't start with like My Boo or something like that.
No, that would be sort of disappointing. DJ's Got Us Falling in Love, maybe.
I could see that.
I don't know. But I was with you. I was like, immediately I was like, yeah. But I'm like, no, because then you got to bring out Lil Jon. I don't think you want, like, if you're Usher and you're opening, you're playing the Super Bowl, you don't want somebody else to be the first voice you hear, right? And so that gets me the question. Do you expect any guests in his set?
Lil Jon and maybe Ludacris, I'm hoping for. But I'm trying to think, like, what other guests could he, like, those three are clear, like, the song of the 2000s, we all know that was a collab. But I'm trying to think of, like, other features that Usher has in big songs.
I mean, he's done stuff with Rihanna, but Rihanna's not showing up.
Yeah, not 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I mean, she's high. She headlined. You know, she's very much in mom mode now. Good for her. I can't imagine she's going to show up and perform. So I think Lil Jon for one, Ludacris would be dope too. I would love that if he showed up.
Maybe Ludacris flies in on his space station and then...
That'd be amazing. That would be absolutely amazing if that happened. Last one here. Everybody talks about the commercials. Although I will say this. I feel like the commercials recently have been sort of a letdown overall. They've been kind of meh, I think, the last few years. Any guesses on which company has the first commercial? Like, kickoff happens, you know, whoever has their first possession, and then they go to break. Who has the first commercial?
State Farm. They milk this Travis Kelce, Mahomes, Andy Reid. Maybe there's someone else in the, or at least a joke about someone else, or Taylor Swift being the someone else, something. But I feel like State Farm has the money and the people in the big game to pay up to be the first commercial.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I know they've also been like hyping this Arnold Schwarzenegger thing they're doing, where it's like, it looks like it's supposed to be kind of some kind of action movie. So that's a good one. I think it's going to be something weird. Like, it's going to be like a, you know, there was that year we had all the crypto commercials. Like, it might be something crypto, like that. Some kind of crypto thing where we're all like, what exactly is that? And you got to like scan a QR code or something dumb. I think it's going to be something off the beaten path that we're not expecting. But State Farm's a good one. That's a really good, strong guess.
Travis Kelce also is sponsored by Bud Light, who has the horse commercial. Maybe we get one of Travis Kelce riding in on one of those big horses. Mm.
Oh, you know what? Here's my guess. Uber Eats is going to be like, hey, did you forget to order something before the game? Like,
oh,
you know, hey, open up Uber Eats, go get your pizza or wings or, you know, whatever it is that you need to get.
If you're ordering pizza and wings after kickoff,
you're not getting it to the fourth quarter
the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not getting them anytime soon, like at all. So we'll see. All right. Take one more break. We're gonna come back. We'll give you our DFS lineups, our showdown, Captain Showdown lineups. And give you our predictions for the game that's coming up next on the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
So I'm sure plenty of you out there have decided how you're going to sweat out the Super Bowl. For me, I'll be doing it just by watching my team and texting endlessly with my... It's so funny. So I've talked to you about my friend text chain, and we're always, you know, kind of going back and forth, especially on Sundays. My best friend, who I've known literally my entire life, he's part of it. No surprise there. He has taken, in the last year or so, last year, this year... For big games, he goes into a cone of silence. He will not engage with us on the text chain during big games. So it was like, you know, there's four of us. Three of us are like back and forth all the time. And one person is just gone and not available. And then when the game's over, he will jump in with all of his thoughts on what we have been texting about for the previous like 3.5 hours.
I like it. I respect. I didn't do the same thing, but during the Bills Chiefs playoff game, I was like, I'm not tweeting once during this game, because a lot of the time when you tweet something emotionally, it comes back to bite you in one way or the other. I was going to ask you, are you watching with other people? Like it is your team. It's not a regular Super Bowl.
No, it's not. I am going to be, it'll be a small gathering. I'll be at home. You know, my dad's in town, so he's going to come by. My sister may come by, but other than that, that's probably it. Cause you know how it is. Like, it's hard to watch big games with your team around other people.
Yep.
And especially if some of the other people don't have a rooting interest, and maybe they're just interested in being social and talking. And it's like, I don't really want to talk to you right now. I'm nervous. I want to get up and maybe walk around occasionally. You know, I just remember during some of those early NBA finals with the Warriors, just being in my house alone. Like, I don't think I sat down for four quarters. Except maybe during commercial breaks, I would take a seat, but I was just like pacing in front of the television, just slamming beers to try and calm my nerves. I don't think I'll be that bad this weekend, but I'm not up for like being out in public necessarily.
Outside of game sevens, I mean, football playoff games are the most anxiety ridden sporting event.
Well, because that's it.
Yeah. Before the Bills got eliminated, Nicolette was like, oh, if they make it, what do you want to do? Like, do you want to throw a party? And I was like, no, I want to do the exact opposite of throw a party. I want to be by myself. I was like, you can watch with me. And that is it. Because mm-hmm. just like you, I want to be pacing. I stand in front of the TV as if I'm about to go into the next play. Like, I'm ready to get out there on that field. I need to be, because also, good or bad, your reactions can't be as strong as you want them to be when other people are like, if your team scores in the Super Bowl, you can't just be like, yes, like me, I want to be jumping up and down, going crazy. So I was like, yeah, if the Bills are ever in a Super Bowl, I need to be by my, it's like when people in the office are like, hey, want to come to the bar to watch the Bills play a big game? And I'm like, that's the last place I want to be.
Like, no offense, but I don't want to be anywhere near you for this big game. So, so it's going to be a very small, intimate gathering.
Good luck.
Mostly family. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Hopefully a great one for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be a lot of fun. Absolutely. You know, and look, believe me, I will tell you right now, I know myself enough to know that if things go bad early, I'm just going to convince myself of the silver lining. Like, hey, man, it was a great year. And, you know, not everybody gets to make the Super Bowl. But if things turn around, then I'm going to be like, hell yeah. I always believed. I never lost faith. Like the whole, that's where I was for the Lions game.
One way or the other, it sounds like you'll be consuming a lot of adults' beverages.
Probably. Yeah, I probably should go make sure I pick some up before Sunday. Anyway, you put together some DFS lineups for the week, doing the captain style lineups here. So please do the honors. How'd you put your lineup together?
I went with the most expensive high-end players you could. CMC as my captain, just because, again, what he does is on the ground and as a pass catcher, I think he could go for two touchdowns in this game. Then I have Mahomes and Kelsey as my first two flexes. I also have Rashee Rice in there. So going heavy, just because the 49ers receivers are expensive, so it's hard to fit them in if you also want to get the top two Chiefs guys. So I was able to get Rashee Rice in there. I have the Chiefs passing game on lock. And then have to go cheap after that. So I went with the Chiefs defense because I was thinking, like, while I expect the 49ers to put up points, if one of these quarterbacks do kind of get turnover prone, I think it would be Brock Purdy against this Chiefs secondary. And then at that point, I had $200 left. So take your pick of whichever bad player on either team you want to go with. I picked Justin Ross because I'm like, the Chiefs have a knack for deciding to put the ball in the hands of obscene wide receivers near the goal line. And so maybe it's Justin Ross's time this go around. It won't be Kadarius Toney. I doubt it'll be Mecole Hardman after what happened in the Bills game. And then Ross also can win downfield. So again, he's just a pure punt play, but a little bit of upside there.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard because the top end players do cost so much. So, but I'm with you. I went Christian McCaffrey as the captain, followed by Mahomes. I got Purdy in there, so I was able to get both quarterbacks in there, at which point I had to really, you know, cut back on the spending. I was able to get George Kittle in there just in case he and Purdy somehow connect. You know, I don't know if you saw, like, Kittle said he learned how to read by reading Calvin and Hobbes cartoons, comic strips, and he has a tattoo of Hobbes on his hand. You know, for whatever it's worth, one of my best friends who's a Niners fan also loves Calvin and Hobbes. I'm grasping at anything, any kind of connections to make this work out. But I took Kittle at 6,400 and then I had to really scale back. So MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just because, as you mentioned, if Andy Reid has something tricky up his sleeve and wants to get the ball to somebody that's not Rashee Rice or Travis Kelce, then maybe it ends up being, say, MVS with a long catch or a CEH or something like that. So, yeah, so that's what we got. I guess it's to the end. Your score, your winner, and your MVP for the game.
I don't want to disappoint you, but I've picked against Mahomes too many times and been proven wrong. So I think it'll be a close game. I am anticipating points in this one. I think both offenses will be able to move the ball. 27, Kansas City 27, San Fran 24, Harrison Butker, late game heroics. Once again, he's probably the new best kicker in football, I would say. And the MVP, of course, something would have to go terribly wrong for the Chiefs to win and Patrick Mahomes not to get the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, look, if the Chiefs win, you feel like it's just pretty much going to be Mahomes. Unless they decide to give it to Kelce just to have a Taylor Swift storyline.
I was going to, if Kelce goes for like 102, maybe they give it to him.
Yeah, it's like you get Super Bowl MVP dating the album of the year winner at the Grammys. I mean, the tabloids would go crazy over that. Social media would go berserk.
He'd have to propose at that point then.
I feel like, I don't know. I haven't looked at all the, you know, kind of off the wall prop bets. I'm guessing that's got to be one out there, yep. Right? That Travis Kelce proposes after the game to Taylor Swift.
I've seen grown men speculating on it on social media.
Hey, man, you do you. Whatever keeps you engaged, I guess. And maybe it's two people getting engaged is what keeps you engaged. So, hey, you know, more power to you. No surprise. Look, I'm taking the 49ers to win. I think it's going to be super close. 24-21, which, by the way, I think would continue the string and make complete the string of no team scoring more than 24 points against the Chiefs. Nobody scored more than 24 points against the Chiefs, at least in the regular season. The Saints scored 26 and the Browns scored 32 in the preseason. But that was it. Nobody else has scored more than 24 points. I take that. The Packers scored 27 against them in week 13. So either way.
The Bills would have if not for Harrison Butker. Yeah. I'm still salty. I'm sorry. I can tell. Tyler Bass, sorry.
I can tell. But I got the Niners pulling one out, 24-21. Brock Purdy is the MVP. My bold prediction, by the way, is that Purdy accounts for all three touchdowns, two through the air, one on the ground. That's my bold prediction for the game.
Brock Purdy could do that, win Super Bowl MVP, and there would still be people after the game saying that he's not a good quarterback.
He's not a good quarterback that, the rest of the team carried him. He's lucky that with that club foot and two left hands that he's able to do what he's able to do. I think it was Dan Orlovsky that made the point. Or not, Pat McAfee, I think it was, had the quote that he could walk on water and people would say it's because he can't swim. so that's what it is. So there you go. That's our look at Super Bowl 58. Are you going to have any big plans for watching it?
I'm going back and forth. I got invited to go to a Super Bowl party, or I could just like stay home and eat a bunch of food here. I'm going back and forth because the social part of it is fun, but I always feel like I missed a bunch of the game then.
Yeah, I've noticed, you know, at least since I've been working at the NFL and you know, been fortunate to have like access to Game Pass and that sort of thing. Like I'll watch the game at somewhere else, and then later I'll go back and I'll, you know, watch the condensed version of the game so I could see the things that maybe I missed. So I get that. I get that 100%. Anyway, I think it's going to be an entertaining game. I think it should be a lot of fun. My heart certainly wants the 49ers to win. My head could make a case why the Chiefs could win. But I think more than anything, it should be a very competitive football game this weekend. And as you pointed out, enjoy it because we're not going to get any actual footballing for a while. You know, we're looking at probably another, 6-7 months before the NFL season comes back again. So enjoy this last little piece of football for a really, really long time. But in the meantime, that'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. Enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody. And we will talk to you again next week.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.